This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But eating crisps and chocolates and sweets all day, every day is not healthy for you. It will lead you to a lot of problems. Allah said halal first. So we try to ensure, most of us will make sure. We know where the chicken is being slaughtered. We know that it is halal, what we are eating. Food is something that we partake of on a daily basis. It either strengthens the body or it weakens the body. It depends on what we consume and how we consume it. And oftentimes we don't realize that Islam has more to say about food than we know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌّ شَرَّ وِعَاءً مِّن بَطْنٍ. There is no vessel that is worse than the stomach that a son of Adam can fill. Meaning, if you have a container, there is no container that you can fill that is worse than the belly. Does this mean that the stomach is evil? No. What is meant is that if you fill that stomach to the top until you can't eat anymore, then that is an evil act. That is bad. That is condemned in Islam. Why? بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمَ أُكُولَاتٍ يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَهُ. It is enough for the son of Adam to eat a few morsels of food that keep his back upright. That keep his back upright. I'd like us to take note of the wording of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? It is enough for the son of Adam to have a few morsels of food that keep his back upright. When you eat less, you are active, your back is upright, strong, and you are able to work, you achieve, and your desire is not heightened. Why? Because when a person's stomach is full, then his desire is heightened, and naturally that becomes the pursuit. After that is attained and achieved, then a person doesn't want to engage in any other tasks. Why? Because I've achieved everything that I need. So chemically your body is telling you that you are okay. You are full, your thirst is quenched, and your desire is fulfilled. You don't need to pursue anything. So the chemical that is responsible to keep you running after your worldly requirements, the dunya, and keep you worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pleasure, seeking His pleasure, that chemical is now flooded in your brain and you feel as though there is no need to pursue anything. So this topic of food has more to do with Islam, and Islam has spoken about it much more than we know. What do we usually hear people saying? We hear them saying that a third, a third, and a third. But what did the hadith start with? The hadith started with بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمَ أُكُولَاتٍ يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَهُ. It is enough for the son of Adam to have a few morsels of food that keep his back upright. And then the hadith says فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَهُ. And so if he must have more than that, those few morsels of food, فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهُ. So then it will be a third for food. وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ. And a third for drink. وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. And a third for air. That is the maximum that you should fill your belly to. The maximum is a third, a third, and a third. But you begin with a few morsels of food. You see, this hadith is interesting as well. Because if we take a look at what happens when a person eats too much, then you find, except with the exception of those who have a medical condition, generally you find that a person's stomach... Sorry, you are disturbing us. Please sit down. Excuse me, you are disturbing us. Please sit down. Kindly sit down. Barakallahu feek. So, if you have just enough, then it keeps your back upright. It keeps your back upright. What happens? When you eat a little bit, your stomach doesn't protrude and you suffer from less back problems. What happens when a person's stomach protrudes? Why is it that an expecting woman has problems with her back? Because there's an imbalance in the weight. So the front of the body is carrying too much. It's too heavy. So the back supports it and has problems. When you have too much of a belly, what happens? You find you start to have back problems. Little did we know that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about this. So the food can actually be a medicine and it can be a poison. They say that eat your food like medicine. Eat your food like medicine in small quantities, or you shall eat medicine like food. You will have to consume medicine in large quantities. Why? Because now I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and I've got that problem. You know, one doctor once told me that dinar fi wiqaya khayrun min qintar fi ilaj. That spending a small amount, a paltry amount, a few dollars and a few coins in protecting yourself is better than spending a treasure, a huge amount of money when it comes to treating the ailment. What does that mean? You eat less, you have less problems, less health conditions, and you will not have to spend a huge amount on your medical bills and your hospital bills. So, prevention is better than cure. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to us. Ya ayyuhan nas kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. O people, eat that which is halal and good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said eat that which is halal and stop. But he said that which is halal and good, which means it is your responsibility to ensure that your body is being nourished with something good. Junk food is known as junk food because it makes the body ill. It causes problems. Why do they call it junk food? Because if you consume it in limited quantities at certain times, it is okay. But eating crisps and chocolates and sweets all day, every day is not healthy for you. It will lead you to a lot of problems. Allah said halal first. So we try to ensure, most of us will make sure. We know where the chicken is being slaughtered. We know that it is halal, what we are eating. But when it comes to tayyib, that which is pure, that which is good, that is the part that we are lacking in. So there are two things. First, how much you fill your stomach to. Are you going to have that third, and that third? Or are you going to fill it up even beyond that? Or will you follow the sunnah and the correct way and the Islamic way and have a few morsels of food that keep your back upright? Have a few morsels of food that keep your back upright. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come out of his home experiencing hunger. This was not in Ramadan. This was not when he was fasting. He comes out and he's experiencing hunger, and he finds Abu Bakr and Umar out in the streets looking for the same. They're looking for something to eat, a few morsels of food. He would feel so hungry that he would tie a rock, a stone to his belly in order to quell the hunger. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of creation to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Did he fill his stomach all the time? No, he could have. He had access to wealth. He had a lot of wealth passing through his hands. But what did he choose to do? Be minimalistic when it comes to the dunya. Eat as much as is necessary. Drink as much as is necessary. And have of this dunya as much as is necessary. In fact, some deprivation is good for you. Some deprivation is good for you. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us fast 30 days. Fast 30 days of the year. Had we not been commanded to fast 30 days of the year, some of us would have never fasted in our lives. Some of us would have never experienced hunger in our lives. Why? Because the moment my stomach is grumbling, what do? I rush to go and eat. And if I don't eat, a hungry man is an angry man, as they say. He becomes angry and he shouts and he fights. No. That is when you are fasting, you are meant to control yourself. Why? That's a lesson for you. And this hunger can be a tool that you can use to drive your life forward. This idea of eating three meals a day and being full and satiated all the time is not an Islamic idea. In Islam, we are taught to eat when we are hungry and we are taught to stop eating before we are full. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha says, when she saw some people with pot bellies after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did she say? She says, this is the first bid'ah in Islam. We never saw the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at his time with these bellies, with this, you know, huge belly. Now, yes, it is difficult. Yes, it is hard when you have this array of food in front of you. But the next time you choose to indulge, remind yourself that this has consequences, short-term and long-term consequences. And if I choose to rein myself in, not only will I feel better, but I will be able to further my goals in life better. And at the same time, I will be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pleasing Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop us from eating and He did not stop us from drinking, but He regulated it. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. And eat and drink and don't be extravagant. Don't go to the extreme when it comes to food. Eat as much as you need to eat. Drink as much as you need to drink, but don't go to the extreme. Allah does not love those who are extreme. Allah does not love those who go to an extreme. That is what the ayah tells you. So, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we really need to look into our lives and say, are we eating to live? Or are we living to eat? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And if as a community, we find that the Muslims are all engaged in only eating, drinking their desires, and that's all they care about, how will then we develop an ummah that can defend itself, an ummah that can stand up for itself, an ummah that will actually respond to those who attack us and those who come after? We are too busy eating, drinking, pursuing our desires. So at that point, we can talk and pay lip service. You know what I would have done if I was in this place and that place, my brother. You can't even control the number of the morsels of food that go into your mouth. How are you going to control and defend the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Are you so sure about your claims? You see why we say the ummah is a unit, is a huge community that is made up of units. And when we change as an individual, we change those around us as well. They notice the change, they become stronger. And as a community, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we become stronger. But it has to start within. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Indeed, Allah will not change that which is within a people. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Until they change that which is within themselves. If you cannot control your love for that Coca-Cola, then how are you going to change the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How are you going to stand up and defend your brother and sister when they are being attacked? And wallahi, Islam is under attack across the globe. So it starts within. It starts at an individual level. And then we grow as a whole. You find there is change, there is development, there is unity, there is goodness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brings about that change based on our actions. We must change to receive goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to control our food. And may He grant us the ability to control how much we consume of it and what we consume of it. And may He grant us the ability to put halal into our mouths. One last time, one last point. When your food is pure and your food is good, then you will find a clear consequence, for lack of a better word. You will find a clear course of action. You will see something happening in your life. And what is that? You will notice that when you raise your hands to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, your dua will be responded to. أطب مطعمك, make your food pure. تكن مستجاب الدعوة, you will be a person who is responded to. There is another aspect that we haven't addressed today, but inshallah one day we will. It is to do with the source of your income as well. If it's dubious, don't ever expect goodness from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from haram wealth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify that which goes into our mouths. I didn't mean this to be an attack against anyone, but it is an important topic that we should address, that we are all guilty of engaging in at times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and strengthen us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.